Because of COVID-19's effect on the economy, a lot of people are thinking back to the Great Depression, and in particular, President Roosevelt's job creation programs. Thousands of artists were put to work in the 1930s under the Works Progress Administration Federal Art Project. But did you know that that project was inspired in part by post-revolutionary thinking in Mexico, and that it led to the development of community art centers throughout the country? Joining us now is Jody Patterson, who wrote about this recently for Art News. She's a professor of art history at Ohio State University. And Professor Patterson, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
Well, there's a lot of history here, but first I'm thinking about the climate of when the WPA came to be versus now. This idea of spurring job growth through art has not been an option for President Trump yet. What's the difference between then and now?
Well, I would say there are quite a few differences. So in both instances, back in the 30s and then again now, the cultural sector had very much shut down due to, you know, an economic crisis. In this particular instance, in the moment that we're in now, Congress can't really seem to agree on much of anything. And the current president has been no great ally of the arts. So he's consistently called, for example, for the elimination of the NEH and the NEA. And he also has supporters who do not think that cultural matters are within the purview of the federal government. And so even though there has recently been an emergency aid bill, Roosevelt's program was pushed through by a popular president whose party controlled both houses of Congress. And it came at a time when I think a lot more people in government were able to see maybe the morale boosting benefits of creating more space for culture as part of an everyday experience.
What's notable to you looking back on that time in history when Roosevelt structured these programs, particularly the Works Progress Administration?
Even before President Roosevelt was coming to office, there was a cultural movement that was gaining great profile and visibility in Mexico. So just there, south of the border, providing a model for public art. And that was, of course, post-revolutionary Mexico. So after the military stages of the revolution, the Mexican government brought in artists, hired them as wage laborers to visualize a shared history in a way that was accessible even to the hundreds of thousands of Mexicans who at this point were still illiterate. So this kind of collective expression was very much the model that was taken on by the Federal Art Project and transposed into the American context.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking because of the WPA, many Americans back then experienced their first original artworks, either in the form of concerts or public art, particularly murals, some of them are still around today. Several hundred thousand original works were created by professional artists. Can you give us some examples and what the impact of all of that was?
One particular set of murals that is still extant and still visible in the Schomburg Research Center, created by the African-American artist Aaron Douglas, who was very much a part of the earlier Harlem Renaissance and became an instructor within the federal projects. That mural cycle, which gives a sweeping history of African-American life and culture within the United States, is there as this kind of visual history, much like we would have had stained glass windows or frescoes in churches during earlier periods. Here is a history that, regardless of your level of education or literacy, your familiarity with fine art, is there in bold color and form. So the impact, I think, ideally, and in certainly what the intention was, to provide access to art through, you know, public mural painting was an exemplary means of doing that, but the community art centers that had traveling exhibitions, art instruction. So really, you know, making art part of an everyday experience.
Yeah. You know, we're thinking and talking about all of this in the context of right now and today in this pandemic, but was the WPA always viewed as successful or really the best government policy?
Well, no, absolutely not. There were absolutely adversaries that saw this as very wasteful and boondoggling was the word that was consistently used towards some of these initiatives. And many people, as is still the case today, did not think it was the business, certainly of the federal government, to be getting involved in cultural matters.
Hmm. If you had President Trump's ear right now about enacting this type of program, during this time that we're dealing with, what would you say?
This could be an opportunity to think about what a sustainable future for the arts might look like. So the cultural sector, I think, has long suffered a kind of precariousness and vulnerability that other industries, if you will, don't. And funding for culture in this country, at any rate, has fairly consistently been contingent upon a wealthy elite or private philanthropy. And we might see now that this isn't such a reliable infrastructure with the market crash and whatnot. So although the New Deal is not a template to replicate and contemporary circumstances are different, there are insights to learn from and I think legacies to build on that might make culture something that's more accessible and something that's more part of what we think of it as to be living the American dream or the American way of life rather than something that's cast off into this ivory tower and left so vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean, in thinking back to the time of Roosevelt, he also used this as a way to communicate values of democracy, American values.
Absolutely. Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini were engaging art and artists in public works to raise their profile and consolidate their power. So democracy, like communism and fascism, also instrumentalized art as a means of asserting and legitimizing its power amongst its citizens. Roosevelt, like other leaders, needed to build popular support, consensus for government action, and needed to show how democracy offered this more abundant life with culture being part of that in relation to competing political systems that were emerging and gaining power at the time.
Professor Jody Patterson at Ohio State University and author of the book Modernism for the Masses, Painters, Politics, and Public Murals in 1930s New York. Thank you so much.
Thank you.